Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Have you ever had a book and it changed your life? I'm not even kidding when I mention our next author, Mark Winter's Rocket Fuel. Mark, I read it at a time in my life where I wasn't sure exactly who I was in the world. Read it and said, I am absolutely a visionary. Quickly found the right integrator. And here you are with a book on visionary. Your launch party's coming. But today we're talking about the intellectual property around visionary. When did you first start coming up with this concept, Mark?
Yeah, so after Gino and I wrote Rocket Fuel, it was interesting. It's kind of like, okay, where do we start? How do we teach people to do something with this? And the first opportunity we saw was actually not the visionaries. It was really the integrators, because that was kind of it was something new and different, you know, and there's lots of people have programs for visionaries out there and CEO peer groups and stuff like that. So it's kind of like, all right, if we could begin to solve or address the integrator problem, that's going to help everybody, because all these visionaries would read Rocket Fuel. It was funny, Carrie, they read chapter one and it's about them and they love that. And they're like, oh, these guys get me, right? And then they read chapter two and it's about the integrator. And, you know, maybe they finish a chapter, maybe they get halfway through, but at some point they go, okay, yeah, I want one of those. And they ask the question, all right, I want one. How do I get one?
Wow.
And that's when it gets hard, right? That's when the puzzle gets tricky, because there's, you know, mathematically, there are not enough integrators out there for visionaries. The ratio is, we believe, is about 4-1. So four visionaries for every one integrator. And just because, you know, that one doesn't mean that one would be a fit for you. Right. So there's a whole compounding of the challenge in trying to find a great integrator. So we began to try to educate the world, educate these integrators, help them understand what it looked like to be truly great as an integrator, and did that for a while. And during that process, you know, it kept coming up from the integrators. It's like, you know, do you have something like this for visionaries?
Ooh.
And so it kind of scratched my head a little bit and started to think about the question. And several years ago, I put it together. I put, you know, together these 10 pillars of what it does look like to be truly great as a visionary. I did a talk at one of the EOS conferences and had a room full of visionaries, and a lot of them had their integrators with them, which was pretty interesting. And it was a hit. And so they loved it. And so we started kind of teaching a workshop around it and continuing to kind of refine the structure and the content. And so here we are, put it in a book, and there it is.
I think it's fantastic. I love a lot of things about this book. Number one, it just pops. I mean, I love how you know, when you create IP, it's really a new world, and you invited your audience to vote on it and stuff like that. But I love the title, the subtitle, and even that tagline. But the subtitle is how driven entrepreneurs get what they want without having to do it all themselves. I feel like you just know the visionary, I don't know, like their internal drivers, but why did you pick that subtitle?
Yeah. So fundamentally it's about helping them get clear on what it is they do want, because a lot of times they're not clear on that. So that's the starting place. And then it's this question of, all right, do you want to, are you going to be able to, if you're clear on here's where you want to go, does, you know, you trying to wrangle all this stuff yourself and trying to control everything and trying to, you know, stay in the middle of everything, does that equal this picture? And many times it does not. And so they've got to be able to step back. They've got to be able to get their heads around what it looks like to have a team of folks helping them, and then how they play in that team.
That's
most,
so cool.
most effectively.
I know we're going to get into a lot more when we launch the book here. By the time this podcast goes live, it will have been launched. So make sure you get a copy, folks. But let's dive a little bit into intellectual property, Mark, because you're a student of it. You're a creator of it. You know that it's 90% of the value of any company. So as you're sitting there writing the book, there's a lot of authors who listen to this podcast. How do you as an author, train yourself to say, huh, I want to say that a little different. Therefore, I can own the space. I can own the IP. Like, take us into your writing even as IP.
Well, so I think I would back it up a step from that, which is, you know, when I am working, and so I think about working as not just the writing, but, you know, when I'm working with clients, or even when, you know, you and I are sitting down just talking, a lot of times that's where it starts.
Mm.
And we'll be kicking around some kind of a question or a puzzle, and I'm thinking, and, you know, the weird thing about my brain is I think a lot of times in models, I think in structures, I think in, you know, a matrix or whatever, some kind of a simple visual that in my head kind of makes it click, makes it make sense. And a lot of times those can help somebody else think about it, right?
Not that
my way is always the best, but I'll kind of puzzle it out. And then when I can see it, you know, you got to give Dan Sullivan credit for a lot of things. But one of them is, you know, a long time ago, I heard him say, if you haven't named it, it doesn't exist.
Wow.
And so it's like, okay, what would I call it? And, you know, you can come up with all kinds of kooky names, but it's okay. You know, whatever works, it kind of captures the essence of what it is and takes that visual along with this label to begin to refer to it. And so that's the start. And then from there, it's kind of building the rest of the explanatory space around it for how someone can interpret it and how they can use it and hopefully help it create some value for them.
I remember seeing you at Abundance, not last year, the year before, I believe it was. Am I right saying that was 2024?
Well, probably the last 2 years we've seen each other there.
Yeah, yeah. But we're sitting there, and you had walked by the booth. We had Instant IP and Igniting Souls, and we were talking about IP. And I remember it like locked for you the moment you realized it was timestamped, but first in commerce. That was like, oh. And I think then you were off to the races, and we started seeing you using Instant IP. Why did that become a tool for you, as opposed to the whole, like, got to call up my lawyer, got to go to USPTO? What do you think?
Yeah. So that was a sort of a breakthrough moment for me, because prior to that, you know, again, I would have all these ideas. And so I got, you know, lists of stuff, stacks of stuff, whatever, all over the place. And you can't trademark it all. You can't, it's just not practical. And so I remember, asking, you know, one of my IP attorney friends that I'd done some stuff with, you know, what's the best way to do this? What's the most really efficient way that you can afford to do that's going to, you know, protect the ground for you so that then you can go back and you can be more robust if it ends up being something that's truly worth investing more in, right? And it wasn't a great answer. You know, so it was just a lot of little things. What I had done on my own was just kind of, I'd buy a domain. So I'd name something, I'd come up with a term, I'd buy the domain for it.
Right.
But that's not enough.
Let's pause there for a second, because I'm the same way. I'll buy a domain, but for our listeners who aren't as educated as you with IP, that's you renting it.
Right.
You know, like that's you saying, hey, ICANN laws or whatever, they are granting me 12 months, but I can lose it. If I don't renew it, it's gone. So I get what you're saying. It's like a little bit of a help, but not.
Yeah. It's really not that defensible, right? So if somebody has a trademark over the top of it, then I'm toast. And so there's nothing I can do to grab there. And it's not, doesn't really give you any commercial groundwork to go and make your case later. So anyway, all it did for me was it kind of showed that, okay, look, that's about when I had this idea. You know, roughly, because I can show when I first registered it. So I was at least thinking about it then, but it's, you know, that's a far cry from the illustration and the rest of the stuff that you end up putting around it. So anyway, when I'd had this question, this unsolved problem in my mind for a long time. And then I remember the day we're sitting there in your booth, and it's like, that's it. Okay. You're telling me for, you know, whatever the price point was at that point, it's like, okay, I can do that. I can lock one of these things down and have a way to show, you know, as you say, what an immutable, time-stamped, record on the blockchain that nobody can debate, nobody can argue with. That's when it, you know, that's when the idea was at least as early as then is when that idea was born.
That's so good. Yeah. You know, I got something going across my Instagram the other day. This is a quick, funny story, but a gentleman bought Lambo.com for $10,000 and said,
Lambo, like the stadium?
No, like as in Lamborghini short.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But I'm a Packer fan, so I know what you're saying. But no, he bought Lambo.com. He somehow got it, paid $10,000. And the judge finally ruled and said, you are giving it to Lamborghini for free. And I mean, I'm like, oh, because it showed like he had no plan for it.
Right.
He was just trying to take it and squat, domain squatting. Yeah. So what a bummer for that guy. But I agree. Like, it's tough to debate. It's subjective. Who was there first? Was Lamborghini in existence before Lambo? You know, like it gets into all lawyer stuff.
Right. Which is not cheap.
No, it's not cheap. He found that out the hard way. But yeah, when you say, look, this is the immutable timestamp. Here's my certificate. We give you the superscript IP. You now have an asset that you log in and you can literally transfer that as a smart contract. It's great. I mean, I've gone to the, I've gone to your page on Instant IP a number of times and I've said, here's Mark's new book. Look at, I think there's the ladder image.
The ladder. Yeah. The OS yeah. ladder.
Can you tell, I'm going to bring up your Instant IP in a moment, but can you talk about some of the new IP in your book?
Yeah. So, I mean, each of the pillars that, well, first, so the architecture of the book is basically that there are these 10 pillars of what it takes to be truly great. If you're a visionary entrepreneur, I should qualify that, a driven and visionary entrepreneur. So you really, you know, this is in your DNA, you're wired this way and you're going to go change the world. Then there are these 10 things that I believe, based on my experience of working with a whole lot of visionaries and being one myself, that you have to focus on to make that happen, to make that true. And so then throughout the book, we break down each of those, and each of those has a set of tools that are go along supporting how to kind of figure it out, how to think about it, how to ask yourself the questions it takes to really come up with whatever your answer is in solution for that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just as an example, the one that you brought up was the
ladder.
Yeah. So that one. So this is the concept here is that one of the pillars is that you must commit to your operating system.
Mm.
Okay. And so to set that up, I frame it that there are actually different levels of operating system that are relevant for a visionary entrepreneur. And the one that gets talked about the most is the business operating system, right? That's what we run our business on. And, you know, big surprise, I'm a huge advocate for EOS, the entrepreneurial operating system, because I know that one works.
Sure.
It's not the only one in the world. There's other ones out there that I'm sure are great. But the, you know, whichever you pick, and, you know, at EOS, we fundamentally believe that it's more important that you pick one than it is which one you pick, but pick one and master it. Go deep. Don't try to do bits and parts of a whole bunch of little ones, because it's just going to create complexity and confusion in your organization. So really pick one and master it. And so in the book, what I set up in this pillar is the progression actually doesn't start there. It kind of actually ends there. So to get there, we actually start down on the individual operating system.
Wow.
And this is the place where you get clear for yourself on what it is that you really want. And this is where I introduce another very important framework to me that's been, it's been really foundational for my own life. It's one, there'll be a future book coming out on it. I do a little teaser of it in this book, but I call it exponential freedom.
Wow.
And it's a framework of 9 different domains of freedom. And so I took all the gurus have their list, right? So everybody's got their 5 things, 6 things, 8 things, whatever it is. So I took all of them I could find. And I did a huge cluster analysis, basically, where I kind of go, well, this is kind of like this. Yeah, that's just another way to say that.
Yeah.
And I'd step back and look at it. And what I found out is there are 9. There are 9. So everything you can come up with will fit into one of these 9. And it turns out there are some interesting interrelationships between them in terms of which ones need to come first and how they work together, how they impact each other. And so that framework, which helps you get clear of, you know, what you really want in each of these 9 domains, what are your trade-offs? How are you willing to kind of give and take between them? What does your future look like in each of them so that you can sort of track that back to what your present needs to be focused on if you want to, in fact, realize that future? So that whole structure, that whole framework, that would be an example of an individual operating system.
Okay. Right?
So it starts there. Get clear on that. And once you're clear on that, then you move up to the next rung of the ladder, which is the visionary operating system. And actually, you know, we've been talking about this book, the 10 pillars in this book. That is an example of a visionary operating system. So if you want to be truly great as a visionary, you need to be really strong in all the 10 pillars. So that's the visionary operating system. Then the VI Duo operating system, the next step on the ladder, is in the book Rocket Fuel that Gino and I wrote together 10 years ago. Hard to believe, but 10 years ago, we draw out what we call the five rules. Five rules. And so those five rules are focused on how to make your visionary integrator duo as powerful as it can possibly be. So that is your visionary integrator duo operating system, is following the five rules. And then ultimately you get to decide what kind of a business operating system you're going to put in your business.
Wow. So I love this. I see the framework, and I think you said it, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said this is a future book.
That's right. So, yeah. So that'll be a book. Right. So, you know, if you think about it, those are all books. So the business OS, Gino wrote Traction. The Visionary Duo OS, Gino and I wrote Rocket Fuel. The Visionary OS, that's Visionary. So that's this book we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. And then the Individual Operating System, that's the Exponential Freedom book that's on the drawing board.
This is amazing. I love it. You know,
So let me ask you this real quick. Yeah. So how you like my artwork?
I like it. It's simple. No, it's true. I mean, I when you were protecting this, I was looking at it. I'm like, this is cool. This is cool. But you're the only one. I mean, it came from your brain. Yeah. Now that it's a mental model, you know, whether it's that or Simon Sinek's famous golden circle, start with why. What it does is it's a mental model. You now occupy space, or what we could say is property, in my head. I mean, that's what it is, IP. So I love that. Back to your nine, because this is also fascinating. Can you have, dependent? Can you have nine exponential freedom at all levels, or is it the give and take?
It's trade-offs. So I fundamentally believe that you cannot, in fact, have them all maxed out, and nor should you probably. But in practice, what you find is a lot of these things sort of tug and pull on each other.
Yeah.
Right. If you want more of this, you're going to have to give up some of that.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of sit back and decide. So one of the first exercises I'll do when I take somebody through is I'll basically give them the nine chips and go, okay, rank them.
Yeah.
And if you had to choose, if you could only have one, you know, which one would you want to have more in? Would you want to have better in? And then the next one. And it's super hard. And it makes you think differently about what is really important to you. And of course, there's a time lens here of how we look at it today versus the challenge of looking at the things from the perspective of your future self. And you're going, okay, you know, when you're 80 years old and you're sitting there and you're looking back on your life, which one will you be glad you put first?
Wow.
That's an important question.
It's very important, but I think it's true. And that's why it works, because everyone thinks, oh, I'm Superman, I'm Wonder Woman, I can do anything I want, as much as I want. No, you can't. Like, you got to go to bed. you got energy depletion. So I think it's realistic. I think it's cool. Who inspires you, Mark, in the area of IP? I know you mentioned Dan Sullivan. You mentioned your co-author, Gino Wickman. But I don't know, growing up or in your career, has there been anybody where you're like, wow, they really, I like their IP, or I know their IP, or anything?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So, I would probably put Dan at the top of that list, just because he's modeled it so well.
Yeah.
And I align so closely with the kind of his methodology in terms of just how he solves a problem that's relevant for him or relevant for his audience. Right. And of course I've got a lot of overlap with that audience. So I think that's inspired me in how I solve things that help me.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So. I resonate with him as well. You're one of the most premier authors with our new imprint, EOS Impact. And, you know, we don't need to get into all the details, but the book gives you more freedom by doing that, setting your own launch dates, your own pricing, this type of thing. But, you know, you're one of these authors here with boom, there you are. What excites you about this collaboration with EOS Impact and just EOS in general? And obviously it seems like you've been great for them. They've been great for you, but why is that working?
Yeah. So EOS is a huge part of my world. And, it all goes back to when I first met Gino. We sort of became fast friends, had a lot in common. I wasn't really teaching an operating system at that point. I had used operating systems in my own past. And I'd sort of got my arm twisted to kind of help some other people do that. But then once I saw what Gino had put together with EOS, it really kind of clicked. It was like, okay, this is a better mousetrap based on my experience. So I began to talk to people about that. And that sort of took on a life of its own. I mean, it started going really fast. And just a little perspective on that. When we met, it was about, as we're recording this, it was about 13 years ago.
Okay.
At that point in time, there were a couple of dozen EOS implementers on the planet. That's it. And I'm in Dallas, Texas. And so, here in Dallas, the closest person was, I think, in Des Moines, Iowa. There was nobody in Texas, nobody anywhere close.
Wow.
That was helping people implement EOS. So since then, fast forward to today, and we're approaching 1,000 implementers out there in the world teaching this content, and like 250,000 companies that have been, impacted by this stuff. And so the scale and the impact is truly amazing. And so I'm blessed to be a part of it. I count myself fortunate to be in a community of fine people that are out teaching this content. So all the stuff I do, something like this, which is, it is perfectly and 100% aligned with the things that EOS teaches.
That's so good.
And so same thing with, when I write the Exponential Freedom book and when I put that out there, that's not EOS proper, but it is, again, it's 100% aligned. So because I believe in it and I'm aligned with it, it works. And so it's just a different part of the ecosystem that, I'm trying to kind of help hopefully bring some value to.
Well, in about 48 hours, I'll be at Strategic Coach. I'm going to be spreading the word about your new book. But as we land the plane here, somebody says, I really get this guy, this Mark guy. I want to work with them. Of course, I'm going to buy the book, Rocket Fuel and Visionary. What do you offer for people who say, we want more of Mark's IP?
Yeah, so we've got a whole slate of programs that are specific to visionaries and integrators to help them, as we say, become truly great at what they do. So that's kind of the big one.
And the programs are literally
they can get to them through there. We're going to have a specific website for the book. I don't know if we want to drop that reference here.
Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. Visionarybook.com.
Visionarybook.com.
Nice. It's not live yet, so you won't be able to it'll take you to the wrong place, but it'll be live tomorrow when we do the launch.
Perfect.
And so that we've got tons of free resources available for folks that buy the book, and so that's kind of landing page central in today's vernacular for folks that are interested in visionary stuff, and that's how to find out about all the different new programs that we're launching in this direction.
This has been fantastic. You're somebody who is creating IP. I love it. Because of that, I believe it's growing your impact, folks. You cannot increase your impact unless you have IP, because you're not giving your people the same language. But Mark's given us language, frameworks, paradigms, matrix, as he mentioned, and now we can actually solve problems faster. So Mark, super excited to be you serve as your publisher. Tomorrow's a big day. And thanks for blessing everybody today with how you do IP.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Kerry. Looking forward to tomorrow. Here we go.
Let's do it.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.